Oh, you're just going to run it, huh? That's, yeah, all right, sure. Why wouldn't you? The way this traffic is out here, fucking take what you can get.
While our ass in the corner blocks, crooked cops told Anthony he should kick it. He brushed him off to walk back to the Kentucky Fried Chicken. See at this chicken spot, there was a light-skinned nigga that talked a lot with a curly top and a gap in his teeth. He worked a window, his name was Ducky. He came from the streets to Robert Taylor home, Southside Project, Chirac, the Terror Dome. Drove to California with a woman on him and $500. They had a son hoping that he'd see college, hustling on the side with a 9-to-5 to freak it. Cadillacs of Philly ride his son around on weekends. Three-piece special with his name on his shirt pocket. Cross the street from the projects, Anthony planned to rob it. Stuck up the place before, back in 84. That's when affiliation was really 8 years of war. So many relatives telling us, selling us, devilish work, skilling us, crime, intelligent, villainous, prevalent propositions with nines. Ducky was well aware. They robbed a manager and shot a customer last year. He figured he'd get on these niggas' good sides. Free chicken, every time Anthony posted in line. Two extra biscuits, Anthony liked them and then let them slide. They didn't kill him, in fact it looked like they're the last to survive. Pay attention, that one decision changed both of their lives. One curse at a time, reversed and manifested good karma, and I tell you why. You take two strangers and put them in random predicaments. Give them a soul so they can make their own choices and live with it. 20 years later, them same strangers, you make them meet again. Inside recording studios where they reaping their benefits. Then you start reminding them about that chicken incident. Whoever thought the greatest rapper would be from coincidence? Because if Anthony killed Ducky, Top Dog could be serving life while I grow up without a father and die in a gunfight.
Los fondos de mi alma
para este mundo.
Los cánones y
los golpes.
So I was taking a walk the other day.
Yeah, that album's pretty good. I think, you know, comparing it to some of the previous stuff, I think there are like a couple more just individual tracks that you would listen to separately than maybe there has been. Maybe there was on the, like, kind of the last, like, proper album where I think, like, maybe that was a more cohesive work. But like there are more standout tracks on this that I would like go like, okay, well these are going to be on my phone and I'll listen to, or I feel like from the last album you either were in for the whole thing or not for any of it, you know, it was like you kind of had to sit down and listen to that whole record. Which is cool in its own way, because, you know, it's like there aren't really a lot of people, you know. Making albums, right? I mean, which is the same thing you could have said last time out. When he put that thing out, you know, it was like, okay, well, yeah, he's like, he's thinking about this as a full project and thinking about it. And it's not, you know, you think about most rap albums, post hip hop. It's all right. Well, we lined up these, you know, these producers that everyone else lines up because they're the hot producers right now. They made beats that are very much in the same types of sub-genres that they make, and they're going to do their thing, and you're going to rap over it, and we're all going to make a bunch of money, and it's going to be awesome. And that's fine, like, whatever. But, you know, like, there's nothing cohesive about any of that work a lot of the time. You know, you get some skits here and there. It's not to say that no one is thinking about it, but not to the extent that this stuff is coming out. You know? That Drake album. I mean, that Drake album is not an album. That thing's like, they presented that as kind of like, hey, it's a mixtape. You know, they're not really, I don't think that More Life is necessarily meant to be considered. And also, I would say that, you know, on the Drake scale, that, you know, More Life, there are more tracks on that I would listen to than there were on his last, like, proper album. Views is not a good record. I couldn't even fucking tell you what's on that thing anymore. Nine. That's one of them, right? That's a name of a track on Views, right? That might be the one that I thought was okay. I can't even remember that. Like, whatever. I think Drake's capable. It's not even a fucking fair comparison because they're not. It feels like the two of them are going about things in such different fucking ways and have different goals. That it's just not the same fucking shit. It's not the same audience. It's not the same. Not the same targets. Not the same goals. And yeah, I don't know. I think that really helps Kendrick stand out. You know, like these projects feel like complete thoughts in a sense. You know, it's not to say that like, oh, it's solving the world's problem. I think people want to like put a lot of things on him and on his music that I think are, you know, maybe he's like looking in that direction to a certain extent, but like people want to heap praise on it and whatever. Like they're great albums, don't get me wrong, but I think people want it, like to look at this as like, this is the only good hip hop and it's solving the world's ills. And it's like, no, like it's, he's thinking about it on a deeper level and making great records, full or great albums. And I think that's cool. I mean, you know, like, the format is kind of dead, right? I mean, no one, you know, like, fucking people sell singles. And it's why Drake can put out a thing and go like, ah, it's more of a mixtape, you know, and kind of, like, try to set expectations that way about the project that he's doing. But it's still a collection of fucking songs that are sold at an album-like price. You know, you can, to call it a mixtape like that, and what is it? If you're reading this, it's too late. That was technically a mixtape type of project as well. And but like the difference is like artistic in nature and barely like it feels like a cop out in a way, a cover for like, hey, we just recorded some songs and we're putting them out. But at the same time, like, you know, I would look at Views and say it's no more cohesive. Other than that, like, it feels like, oh, this is an album, so we're going to, like, target an even poppier audience than, like, if anything, the stuff that's been on the mixtapes has been, like, better from just a straight hip-hop perspective. Whereas, like, Views feels like something that's just like, well, we're going to chase this larger demographic, so I'm going to sing more and do this and that. It's like, ah, whatever. That's, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't know. But I, you know, at some point the comparison is fucking meaningless. Someone asked me at PAX years ago. It was like right around the time that that Good Kid, Mad City was coming out, and they said, like, who are your top five rappers, dead or alive? And I don't really think about that too much. Like, I know that's, like, a popular question. So I just, you know, like, on the spot, thought about it for a second, rattled them off, and I was like, oh, and Kendrick Lamar. And the guy was like, really? Like, yeah. Yeah, I think he's, yeah. As time goes on, I only feel more right about that. Because I think he's just, he's making music. And I think a lot of people in hip-hop, a lot of MCs, like, they just aren't thinking about the full package. And whether it's him and the people he's got around him, like, you know, I don't know. But these projects, when they come together, are beautiful and cohesive in a way that hip-hop albums often aren't. And I think that's really cool. In a way that, like, most albums aren't. Like, you know, no one's, you know... Like, they're halfway to concept. Well, whatever. There are concepts to these albums. And... Yeah, I should look up the production credits for some of this stuff and kind of see who did what or whatever. But it just, you know, it doesn't sound like... What was it? Thundercat did a lot of that last album, right? Like, he's not going to the same people. It doesn't have the same people featuring that everyone has. But, like, at the same time, you know, he can feature on stuff and bring something to it that... And bring the qualities that a fucking proper MC can bring. Like, he can rap about whatever, and he can fucking bring it in a lot of different styles, in a lot of different topics, and... I think he's got a versatility that most MCs don't have. On this album, fucking, he's singing a fair amount. And pulls it off. It sounds like fucking grown-ass adult music. And I would say all the same stuff about the last, big album from Kendrick and the untitled one. I didn't really care for it that much. It didn't really do much for me. Like, the tracks themselves were fine, but you know, it just didn't have that cohesion. It felt like what it was. You know, it was like, here's this other thing we did, or here's the other things we did that maybe didn't fit into the larger album. Yeah, you know. He does his thing, and no one does it like that. And I think that, you know, that's... He's a special artist. That is really kind of... He's like going against the grain, but all... It's like, it's... You know, for me, it's really fascinating. Just like, it's this... You know, he's this West Coast dude. And you just don't... Look, I'm from here, not like LA here, but here, and I've spent most of my adult life interested in that West Coast shit, and I love it. I love it. But it isn't too often that it's like... hyper lyrical and self-aware, and you know, most of what I love about the West Coast is the fucking just over the top insane fucking gangsta fantasy shit that just fell from Easy and Ice Cube and Ice-T and King T, you know, just like the that fell from that on down. And there have been people from the West Coast that are certainly very lyrical and they can freestyle and they can do their fucking thing. Like, I'm not saying that it's all just this mindless fucking super gangster shit, but I love that mindless super gangster shit. But Kendrick and, you know, and I think, you know, like Schoolboy Q and, you know, some of the other stuff around that camp is just, like, they're, you can hear the influence of the West Coast on what they do, but, you know, in the topicality of it and that sort of stuff, but it just, there's more. There are levels to it. And it's good. It's damn good. could have made it through that light. I shouldn't have stopped here. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, and yeah, you seeing all these people today wanting to talk about Drake as a result of this album coming out, and I get it, because you know Drake is obviously like fucking huge and all that stuff, and I don't hate Drake. I think he's very capable, but like I was saying, it's just not the same thing. They're not pursuing the same thing, like artistically. Or if they are, then I mean shit, if they are, then Drake is fucking up. But when you listen to the music, it just doesn't, it's not. They are only barely playing the same sport. One of them's on some CFL type shit, you know? Right, yeah. And congrats to you too for finally being involved in a good song for, let's say, the first time in their career. Maybe the second. Is there a good U2 song? I guess we'll see, has any of this fucking second album on Sunday shit been picking up steam, or is it just kind of like, here are some theories, and then that's that. I would be interested to see if there was more. But that's got to be a bummer. If there's not more, then that's, that must fucking suck. To be like, hey, I worked on this album for a really long time and thought long and hard about it and worked really hard on it and put it out. And it's, you know, there's not a lot of people making this type of album anymore, and I'm very excited about it. And all anyone's talking about is, yeah, but is there another one coming out on Sunday? If that's the plan all along, then I'd be like, ah, yeah. But if that wasn't, I'd be like, man, fuck you. Fuck you people. What the fuck? Picture, Kojima is listening to this David Bowie song, and he's on this track of this one, so it's clearly there's more missions coming. Thank you. How much the marketing and like timing and release and promotion cycle of music has changed, or what it, you know, like these kind of surprise releases that you can do digitally and stuff, like what, now that this is, you know, looking to be the year, what was it, it was just the UK where streaming was surpassing album sales for the first time. Think about it, used to have release dates, fucking pre-order campaigns, you know, for Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, they had fucking midnight store openings and all that shit. Go to the warehouse and get a fucking warehouse-branded Guns N' Roses bandana with purchase of Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. I feel like I used to, you know, maybe it's me, but I feel like I used to be way more aware of when albums were coming out a lot further back. Whereas, like, this album felt like there was maybe a week or so of, like, oh, wait, fuck, really? Oh, shit, okay. Great. I will add that to my library and listen to it, yes. Beyonce album where they launched digitally and then were in stores like a week later, and some of the stores were like, no, we're not going to sell it because you went digital first. No way. We will not be second class citizens, which is like, it's like the only card they can play, but they are really running out of cards to play on that front. But I wonder what that cycle looks like. What does a PR person for a record label do anymore? Facilitate early listening for reviews, I guess. Facilitating interviews. Stuff's the same, but like, You know, is that months in advance? Is that days in advance? Is that... I don't really spend a lot of time looking at, like, what the big upcoming pre-orders on Amazon are, which I used to do that for movies and music, just to kind of get a feel for what was coming out when and that sort of stuff. Now I feel like I hear more about music because it's someone somewhere saying, oh my god, this album leaked. I'm like, oh. Huh. I guess that'll be out soon then. Transition to Friday launches for albums has actually been kind of nice too. Like, that's a good, that's a feel-good thing. Like, hey, coming into the weekend here, here's some new albums. Fuck a Tuesday.
Takes place at the South Point Hotel and Casino.
Yeah, broke those teams.
Over a week, they will pay out over $7 million. That's the kind of money that's available a lot of these big roses. Boys, that didn't work. Sorry, no time. Okay, now during the breakaway roping, we got the audience kind of involved in this. And all of a sudden, the breakaway ropers started catching. Well, I got a couple of ladies riding in the team rope, man. Kirstie Allen, Stephendale, Texas, Brandy Hoffman. I want everybody to clap their hands and help the cowgirls. Come on, get your hands together to music.
What?
Oh, no. It's up to you, folks. Give him a hand, would you? Give him a hand.
Listening to the audio portion of what's clearly a TV broadcast of a live rodeo continues to be the fucking most baffling experience. Why would they put this on the fucking radio?
Doc Hobbs, Gabriel Salgado. Next up. Boy, you all sounded great for those two cowgirls, though. That's cool.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. Also, the idea, like, they just, like, fucking are practically, just pretty much just playing the Venga Boys for a fucking full hour straight at the rodeo while cows get roped. Like, what the fuck?
Ricky Green, Monahan, Bluntdale, Texas. All right, guys, it's an 8-9. That's winning the road, man. That's a tough steer
nice
when
loop.
You're running the
right
like that.
You nailed it.
Yo! All right, they broke the barrier and they roped the leg. So that's a 5.65 plus 5 with the leg plus 10 with the barrier. Plus 15 for the line user access fee plus 25 for local state property taxes. It ended up being a 69-second, no, not really, they were 20. Give him a hand, would you? Give him a hand. Pink Moon, Trevor Glenn, Trent, Texas. Hope y'all plan on coming back, joining us tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
Of course.
Tomorrow afternoon, 2:30, 4:30.
Okay.
Bonnie Dell's Wild West Show.
Yeah. Oh, well, shit.
Follow us at Stockyards Championship Rodeo online. CowtownColiseum.com. Now rope. Click hard for work. Give me two toes. Okay, this is still not working the way it's supposed to. We're not catching the steers. I got an idea. A while ago, it wasn't working very good in the breakaway roping. I had y'all turn around to introduce yourselves to somebody. All of a sudden, we were catching calves, right? Let's kick it up another notch.
Yeah.
Everybody in the audience, take a look at the person sitting right next to you, okay? The person sitting directly to your right. And give that person a giant kiss on the lips. No, sir, I said the lips, the lips, the lips.
The rodeo
I just created
was
two
so
new relationships and got four men slapped.
Hot.
Nice job, Steve. Seth Collison, Monahan, Texas. Kobe Sutton, Andrews, Texas. Texas, a pair of them. Boys, catch your steer. got one. And they broke the barrier.
I hate it when they break the barrier.
25-14 including. 25-14 including. I like this next team. Ladies and gentlemen, ranch work, cowboy work, the day-to-day lifestyle of a cowboy.
Go on.
That requires that you rope, whether it's in an arena, in the branding pen, or out on the open range. That's where team rope would come from. Kate Britton on the head side, Ricky Green on the heel side. I like this pairing. For those about to rope, we salute you.
Fuck you.
Gets up. I got it. Now, see, healing is all about timing. I'm going to tell you what little bit I know that I can tell you that makes sense. When that steer tried to stop on the end of that head loop, that gave away all possible timing. It's tough to throw a loop at something that won't get its 9 feet out of the ground. Folks, they did all they could for you tonight. Give them a little something back, would you? It's a no time. Oh my goodness, it's the official Redneck National Anthem. Somebody clap your hands to Sweet Home Alabama. Come on. Jacob Fire, Dakota New from Stephenville, Texas. Anybody know the words to this song? I know a few 50-year-old guys got this as their ringtone on their cell phones.
I didn't make sense that this would be the one song they would play lyrics to. Oh, yeah, there we go.
All of you over here on this side, take a look at that head loop. That is a figure eight. I mean, that is one of the prettiest figure eights I ever saw right there. They ought to give you credit just for making it that symmetrically perfect. But it's also illegal, not allowed, a violation of the law. And a no time. If you want to give him a little hospitality, go for it.
Are you saying I should have sex with the cowboy ropers?
Jake Baker, Ivanhoe, Texas, Charles Hubbard, Melbourne.
Is that what you mean by the hospitality thing? I don't. I don't really follow.
Come on, boys. You got to be 8-9 to win the roping tonight. I bragged about horses at the tie-down rope, but I want to brag about horses at the team rope.
What?
Rope horses have got to do an awful lot in a small window of time. From the time they stick their butt in the corner of that roping box until the time they blow through that barrier. Ropers ask him to score just right. If you're a second too early, you break out. If you're a second too late, you're at the back end of the pen. Head horses will tend to be a little bigger than tail horses will. Head horse has got to do the pulling. Let's go. Yeah. All right, finish it with a bang. Yes.
What the f***?
They broke the leg, but it's a 13-77, and they're in the money. Brad Manoki from Melbourne, Oklahoma on the heel.
I feel like I'm going to just, like, the way the music jerks back and forth, I'm going to break my fucking neck from whiplash. Insane. Yep, yeah, no, play this fucking song. Sure, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, the South Yard Championship Rodeo is awfully proud to have some of the great sponsors and partners that we've got to tell you about. The Justin Bish Company, the Standard West in 1879. Now, we started the night tonight by telling you to make sure that you got your Justin Boots programs. Because we had a pair of boots to give away tonight with those programs.
Ooh. Free boots.
There should be a number as we fly the flag of the Justin Boot Company stamped inside that program. The last three digits of this six-digit ticket I got in my hand matter. 551, all right? Look inside your program.
Okay,
and
yep.
You? Is that 551? Awesome. Take it down to the rodeo shop. Right?
Awesome. Great. Go get a fucking pair of boots and stop fucking looking at me.
They got a certificate for a brand new pair of Justin Boots, cowgirl. The Santa Fe West since 1879. Riding along in my automobile. My baby beside me. Three giant chorus dancers are coming your way into the arena.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, my curiosity running wild. You are about to enjoy one of the two most popular. I'm talking about the
lane. Oh, no. Satellites.
As we set up a cloverly pattern in this arena, the agility of the horses, the talent of the horsewomen are about to be on full display here tonight. Basically, the way it works is this.
Okay, play it out.
The ladies are going to run from right down here below me. Either to the right or the left, depending on how their horse performs the best. I make one right hand turn, two lefts, one left, two rights. Pass the time, gets the biggest kick. If you knock a barrel over, it's a plus five. You go off course, it's a no time. The electric eye is in place. Time to go. Savannah Chaddock, Whitesboro, Texas. Here comes my neighbor 5 miles down the road from my home in Gainesville. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I talk about horse people, I talk about barrel races. I talk about a special love between a cowgirl and a horse.
Okay,
this arena
hang on.
Is home to some of the best barrel races in the country, North Texas. Wild West Promotions got a big one coming up on April the 23rd. Nice start. This is where a little fan power comes in handy. 1408. There's your starting point at a 1408. All right, that's one in the books. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again.
Texas. Michaela Cox.
Uh-huh.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to watch the way that these ladies ride. The way they move their bodies. The quick little shift of the weight back and forth. The reach down, grab hold of the saddle horn, and turn.
What?
It's all got to happen in two strides from one to two. Oh, no. Give her a little consolation, folks, would you? 1961 included. 1961 included. Anna Hemphill from Huntsville was in the breakaway rope in the night. She's back in the barrel race. Third lady you're going to watch is an all-around cowgirl talent. Now, folks, I talked about how much money team ropers make during the year. North Texas is barrel racers heaven.
There's everyone knows that.
You can go to run in a barrel race at Jackpot 7 days a week. Sometimes three or four on Saturdays and Sundays.
See, they have ladies riding the horses, so they're going to play girls, girls, girls.
Uh-huh. All right, North Texas, you got a girl from down south. Help her. One five three five. Bakchico, Oklahoma. Caitlin Prentice is next.
What?
Now, folks, you watch that 1408.
Guy put it on him and like, ah, nah.
Yeah, get those hands going.
Okay. Nah. It's like me driving home.
No, Bucky, don't do that. Give her a little consolation, man, huh? Second barrel down. That's a 20 point. No, it's the 19.58 included. 1958 included. All right, let's keep it in Oklahoma. Kennedy Bickerstaff from Ada, Oklahoma. I told you, 1408 to start the night. That is a smoking hot time in this arena.
God, this guy sucks.
Let's see if this Oklahoma lady can do it. These horses start running. Trainers will start them on the barrel pattern when they're 2 years old, three. Some of the biggest money opportunities in the world are security at the age of four. Watch this cowgirl as a teenage talent. Hey! Y'all got the ribbon tonight, don't you? Kenzie Pokes, Emory, Texas. Watch this. Hold up this night, turn up, turn up, turn up. That's nice. Boy, this horse wants to turn. $14.59 plus live, making it $19.59.
Okay.
You see the way that horse really wanted to shut down? Bring his hind end around. Get around that barrel, George Robinson from Del Kilo, Texas. Next try. Okay, you like it. Got it. All lucky. Look at this big day horse, reach out and run. Go for it. $14.72. Out of Brady Rutledge, Aubrey, Texas. Hi, North Texas. Got your neighbor. Got a pretty good cowboy, cowgirl, cow, and Aubrey.
Hey, little thing, let me latch. Kind of calls the mama. I show all the hand and hand.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So that is three.
What?
Fastest time of the night. 14.30. Wow.
Wow.
All right, four to go. Anybody here tonight from Canada?
Yeah. Yep.
The next barrel racer count. The next barrel racer is a long way from home. It might be 70 degrees warmer right now in North Texas than it is in Selden, Quebec, Canada. This is Pascal Sylvain. This is working. Oh, Canada!
What the fuck?
Wow! 14.47 for the Canadian cowgirl. 14.47. All right, now back to Texas. Emily Thompson, Emory, Texas. Okay, I guess there's some kids kind of hanging over the fence, but if we did not have that, that would help. Please do not let your children hang over the fence. Uh-oh. You know what, there's a problem.
Under no circumstances are you to let your children hang over the fence.
That's a 1973.
I like to think that this guy is sitting by himself in a dark room playing all this music and just yelling. Like, there's no rodeo.
Durand, Oklahoma. Gonna go on the barrel race tonight. Yeah. I don't care. I think she's awesome. Give her a little help, huh? 26-10, but the judge didn't see the two barrels go down, so it's okay. Tell you what, their grandparents in here right now offer that kid a lot of money for that big horse. Connor Bickerstaff, Ada, Oklahoma. That's the cool thing about the stockyards. Doesn't matter if you're 10, 50, or 80. We'll give you a chance. Connor Bickerstaff from Ada, Oklahoma. Here we go. I like this bay horse. No! Pretty right, Jimmy. Ladies and gentlemen, did you enjoy the barrel racers tonight? 20.10, 20 and 10, please. The first one out turned in the fastest time of the night, Savannah Chaddock. Weisboro, Texas, 14.08. Texas 14:30. Pascal Sylvain, Quebec, Canada 14:47. Ladies and gentlemen, we're putting pickup man center stage. We're putting bull fighters to work. Jesse Vick, Tanner Fanning. We're bringing you back to the Bucket Chips. Is anybody ready for some more bull
riding? We're bringing you back to the Bucking Chute. Is anyone ready for some more bull riding? I wonder how many people go up to, like, the booth at the end of the rodeo and say, like, hey, it was a fun show, but could you please stop playing all that devil music? I heard a lot of, jungle rhythms. I wonder how many people just go up and say it's, like, the worst possible shit. Yes, exactly. Yes. There's a lot of secular music being played.
All right, fans, are you ready? He's okay, but he sure would like to know if you'd like to have him come back. Give him a little hospitality.
Every time that guy says, give him a little hospitality, I picture some dude in a cowboy hat making like a hand job motion. Give him a little hospitality. Like, whoa, wait, what? Is that just me? So just my sickness.
Yvonne Jimenez, let's go to Mexico one more time. Pro Rodeo just created a brand new partnership with the nation of Mexico. This is whiskey.
What?
Now we got one tall whiskey in the corner shoot, I'll never know. Tonight's Stockyard Championship Rodeo presented by the Justin Boot Company.
Well, I made it home. You'll have to seek out your own rodeo broadcast now. I hear they're just starting the bull riding, so
very exciting. I'll see y'all later.